Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Saturday, November 24th, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions presents Chuck the Iceman Liddell as he returns to the cage to take on the Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz, in their third and final chapter of their historic rivalry at the Fabulous Forum, plus a fully stacked undercard of competitive MMA talent. Don't miss this night of historic rivalry, Saturday, November 24th at the Forum. Tickets start at $30 and are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000.
Welcome to the Fighter's Voice. I'm Don McGuire, being joined by my mutual host, as always, on our Para Edition, Mr. Ronald Mann. Ronald, our guest today is truly a lady of many facets. I guess you could say a person of many hats also. When you look at the aspects of Sarah Stanton, what is most confined in you and the ability and what she's bringing to the sport?
Well, I got to talk to her a little bit before the show, and we talked mostly about her passion for para jiu-jitsu, and that's why I wanted to have her on to start explaining like more of the American side, more of the European side, and where we're going in that direction. But to me, her passion for this sport and to bring adaptive martial arts into the forefront, that was one of the things I really wanted to speak to her today.
Tremendous, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I was so honored to have her on the show today. We're talking about her like she's not on the line with us. You know, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Mrs. Sarah Stanton. Sarah, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me on tonight.
You know, I look at the whole embodiment of jiu-jitsu, and it's truly profound. And the aspect of para jiu-jitsu, I don't know if Ronald's told you or not, I'm also a para practitioner. You know, I'm an amputee below the knee on the left, and hopefully not soon on the right. I got an injury we're kind of nursing and trying to figure out where we need to go on that. But more importantly, you've got a tremendous event coming up in Sweden, and you're the head of the international committee on that for the Para-Jiu-Jitsu Worlds. What does that accolade mean to you, and how does it truly embody you?
It's a very exciting committee that I'm leading for the JJIF, which is the Jiu-Jitsu International Federation, because it's been a passion of mine ever since, I think, about 11 years old or 12 years old, to be able to work with different sorts of people, whether it was people that had a developmental disability, an intellectual disability, a physical impairment. What I do for my business background right now is I own day centers for adults with developmental disabilities. So through that passion has also given me the ability to financially be able to assist in this. So to also be given the role from the Jiu-Jitsu International Federation to lead the Para Jiu-Jitsu and Adaptive Committee has been a huge honor. So I'm just really excited about everything we're doing, leading this internationally, and to be able to have our first event at the Senior Worlds for JJIF.
Now, being that you're the, you know, you're the owner of multiple adult daycare centers and people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, what was it that led you down the path or the plight of the para-athlete or the para-aspect in life?
I began with JJIF just solely because I used to do a lot of sports in high school and I wanted to get back into competition. So in personal sense, getting back into competition and working with JJIF, it just became an opportunity that I had with talking with their board and discussing my passion for working with different people. And as we gear towards our Olympic goal for JJIF, to also combine my passion with the need for this type of committee. And that just made for our committee and development and excitement across the board about it. And that's how I started to lead it.
That's awesome. You know, at the JJIF events, you know, moving forward, you ran it successfully at the Pan Ams this year. What did that moment mean for you and the organization?
It was our first event that we ever did for this at JJIF, so to be able to have the forum in Columbia to do it, very short notice, was just a tremendous feeling for everybody. During the whole Pan Am, there were people in and out, different spectators, but when we ran para-jiu-jitsu, everybody stopped and watched, and everybody cheered for every athlete, and the whole stadium was just frozen watching it. So it was the one event I feel truly attracted everyone and just gave a chance for people to learn the different countries and the audience members in general. That's one of
That's
our biggest
tremendous.
Things that we need to do going forward is just to educate our 121-plus member countries in JJF on what adaptive grappling and para-jiu-jitsu is.
I love that about you. And, you know, that's what I find. I love the uniqueness about people. And you look at life, and not everybody wants to step above that certain aspect. They don't want to give more of themselves than they feel necessary in life. But you've done that. And subsequently, you ran into a great friend of mine, a man that I admire, a man that I'm going to toss the mic to here in a second. But what did it mean for you to actually get the opportunity to meet, speak, and get a greater understanding of Ronald Mann?
I met Ronald through a member of our USA board, my friend Tabrin, who's out from Los Angeles and a vice president on our USA board. And he's the one that told me that I need to get in touch with Ronald, that he would be a tremendous aspect to have both on our competitive team and also working by me in para-jiu-jitsu as a whole. So by taking Tabrin's word to get in touch with him, it's been a fabulous opportunity just to have the knowledge Ronald can bring to the committee, and I'm excited to see him fight in a couple of different divisions in Sweden coming up and be part of our first event.
Most definitely. I love that. And hey, sir, you know, not to sound like a jerk or anything, you could relax. This is an easygoing show. That's what we love about it, because here you can be yourself. You know, most people come on the radio. I'm great at breaking in green fighters, but really there's nothing's going to be thrown at you sideways. Nothing's going to be – it's not one of them shows. And that's why Ronald does a show with me, is because we truly articulate the aspect of para-jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu, and all warriors, and we do it with respect. So you don't have to be worried about us. It's just a humble – kick your shoes off, laid back type of show. With that being said, I'm going to toss the mic to the one and only Ronald Mann.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome.
Appreciate
thank
that, Don. Sarah, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Thank you.
Sarah, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yep. Just want to make sure we're touching base. Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for those accolades. I mean, I've only known you for just a short while now. But I consider it an honor that, you know, Don, I wanted to talk about, she brought up Tabrin Lee, and I wanted to throw him in the mix real quick. I don't know if he's listening tonight, but it would be good for him to call in as well to the show. Tabrin came out to Yamasaki Academy randomly. He was out there for the Police Athletic League and showed up at the Yamasaki Academy, and we got to roll a little bit, and you haven't met Tabrin yet, but he's quite an imposing dude. And but he took over our class tonight and was teaching us some very interesting and intense judo techniques. And so I was watching his movements, watching his style, and then he comes over at the end and asks me to roll. I'm like, you know, this is a guy from coming out of town. And, so we rolled a little bit, and I ended up snapping on an ankle lock with him. And it went so quickly, he almost didn't have time to tap. And I was like, there we go. That's what I like to see. And, you know,
and
that
I
kind
loved
of broke
it
the ice
that you
for
say that, because Tabrin told me, he's like, you have to meet Ronald. He's like, he's the real deal. He got me to tap out.
And Tabrin's a big dude. He's an impressive black belt. And, you know, his technique is amazing. And so, you know, when he started telling me about what you guys are doing and that I need to get a hold of you, I was like, this is really fantastic, because I've been able to work with the UAE JJF in para divisions, and to find out that there's other organizations and federations that are pushing it forward, this is exciting for me. So that's why I wanted to get you on the show and talk to you for a little while about this. So you started off, give us a little bit of history, you know, of you growing up in martial arts. I read your biography, and, you know, you have your reffing license. How did you get into martial arts, and what does that mean to you?
I started in martial arts when I was in my 20s. Part of my youth, I grew up in a really small town in Michigan, and they didn't have martial arts, so I didn't have the opportunity to even be involved in it until my early 20s. So when I started, I just wanted another form kind of to get back in shape, get a chance to compete. And through that aspect of training in jiu-jitsu, I happened to find JJIF. And after competing for a little bit locally and nationally, ended up making my way down to the Pan Americans in Mexico. And that's where I took a gold in Mexico and also met somebody that you'll meet coming up, Jose Dominguez, who's also going to be going with us to Sweden and refereeing there. So we've all become, and I'm very happy Ron was part of this now too, this big family of people who are very passionate about what we do through JJIF and jiu-jitsu in general.
Yeah, you've collected quite the crew together so far. You know, a lot of these guys I do know as para athletes, but then I may be mistaken, but you're not a para athlete, are you?
Correct, I am not a para athlete.
Yeah, so for you, I mean, you know, in para jiu-jitsu, there's so few of us already. You know, to find the caring support of other people outside that want to dedicate their time. Like Don was saying, like you're out there in the forefront helping us bring our gift to the world. And what we already know is a gift. So, you know, from my aspect and from my end, I want to thank you on that. I'm very fortunate that you're leading the way with us.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be able to have people around me that are able to help and as a whole, like yourself and some of the other guys on the team that are willing to work so close on this and help educate the world and just be part of it as we're just starting to kick things off this year and really gain some momentum.
Yes. So you ran the tournament in Pan Ams. How many para fighters did you guys have down there?
I'm sorry, can you hear me still?
Yeah.
Okay. We had 6 people from USA and from Colombia. We had 2 countries that sent people to compete.
Nice. So you're starting to develop country organizations. And did you guys, I mean, was it compete all against one another in a round-robin format? Did you have any kind of bracket set up? Like, what was your guys' first idea? You know, this is the first time you're doing a para event. How did you decide what matchups you'd make?
We had the open category where everybody could compete, and then we had enough athletes that had a visual impairment to run actual divisions just for individuals with a visual impairment.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. I mean, that's ultimately what we're looking for.
I just stymied because, you know, you don't, you know, in our plight, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Ronald. In our plight, you know, I have taken up a fight with IBJJF and allowing para categories in tournaments in the United States and in regular tournaments. And I did, and I was able to kind of break that barrier down with Fuji. But to hear you have categories enough for visual impairment and different aspects, that's totally blowing my mind. I mean, when you look at that aspect of it, Ron, as a para fighter yourself, to hear an organization not only have, you know, categories for you, but for the visually impaired and to be able to break it down, how profound does it make you feel knowing that you're, you know, correlated with this organization and with Sarah Stanton?
Well, and like, ultimately that's the path, right? You know, Sarah,
yeah.
we're fortunate that you guys are leading the way for us to bring our skill. But, you know, if it wasn't for you guys pushing and opening the doors for us to fight, then this would never happen. So when you say you talk about JJIF, and that's the European Federation, the World Federation. Now, you're part of the American Federation, right?
Correct.
Okay. And is that linked under JJIF?
Go ahead.
Start off with it.
Sure. Thank you. We're part of USJJO, which is the national governing body and full member to the Jiu-Jitsu International Federation, and which is JJIF.
And have you guys been organized recently? Has this been in I mean, these are all new ideas for our listeners. So how did this come about? Was this something that started after Pan Americans?
We've been the national governing body. USJJL has to JJIF for a little over 4 years now. But the para-jiu-jitsu and adaptive athlete aspect has really only been going for about a year, just in development. And then the Pan Americans in Colombia was kind of the test event to see how to get it going. And since it went well there, that's why we're now having the opportunity to run at the Worlds in Sweden with the intention of including para-jiu-jitsu in every JJIF event going forward.
Nice. That's amazing. Don, you always yell at me because I don't talk enough, but tonight I've talked to Sarah and I'm excited about being part of this. I could chat with her all night.
Yeah, I'm kind of – and then here you got me, and I apologize, Sarah. You know, I deal with so many organizations in jiu-jitsu, and then it's like I'm finding out about organizations that have been underneath my radar and that I almost feel like I haven't been doing my job, you know, because you've been around for 4 years, and yet, you know, I have a page, you know, called Parafighter that me and Ronald run with a couple other individuals. And one thing that I wanted to touch on, because it touched a really deep aspect with me. You know, I've had Al Serley on here, Professor Al Serley, and I've had other aspects of the para world on here. But when I seen how you guys categorized it for differently abled persons, you know, to me, that's a tremendous respect to the para world, the way you guys came up with the articulation and the name. How much fundamentals did you guys put into this aspect, and how long did it take you to correlate the right individuals for this board, for this committee, for this organization, so that the parafighter themselves would feel comfortable enough to want to partake in your events?
For the international committee that I lead for the JJIF for Jiu-Jitsu with Differently Abled Persons, the JJIF board as a whole was very supportive of that and helped come up with the title. And over the next year, we're going to look at expanding who is going to be on that committee as well. And I want to make sure we do that with the intention of having people that don't just want to be on the committee in name only, as the JJIF grows more towards an Olympic push and more success in that route. So I want to make sure we have input from coaches, from athletes, from family members, from friends, anybody who's involved in the para-jiu-jitsu world, to make sure we get the best information possible going forward.
I think it's tremendous. Say, Ronald, help me remember Cole's last name. Was it Hagebush?
Cole Rogers.
Cole Rogers. You know, mm-hmm. And I had him on the show, and he talked about, you know, he was disabled and handicapped, and I said, no, bro, you're not. And I argued with him, and it's kind of comical when you hear the full story, because, you know, being a para-athlete myself, I never looked at myself as being handicapped. You know, to me, that's saying that you've reached a certain level, you can't pass that. So I came up with my own definition called handicapable. And I argued this point with him on the show, and I told him, I said, man, I can still climb, because I'm an active photographer in the sport of MMA still, so I told him, I can still climb the cage with the best of them. I said, I can climb it faster than a 20-year-old. I said, so, you know, do you feel more comfortable in the aspect of being called handicapable? And he still kept referring to himself as handicapped. You know, to me, breaking the stereotype is a tremendous aspect in life. What you guys are doing is even more tremendous. What does Sweden truly mean to you guys moving forward? Because this is a tremendous event. This is actually history in the making in a lot of aspects. So when you look at it in that derogative or that pathway, how does it feel for your organization to be groundbreaking and creating aspects that a lot in the sport wouldn't even do?
One part that I'm personally excited about as the head of the USA organization is that we have two adaptive fighters, Ronald and then Rustin, who are competing both in para jiu-jitsu and then also representing the USA in conventional jiu-jitsu categories also. And that hasn't been typically done in JJIF before. So I'm very excited to go over to Sweden, not just to run the para jiu-jitsu tournament and take the team and be with the team as a whole, but to see Rustin and Ronald compete in the conventional brackets as well. Just, I think people will be very excited to see that, and it hasn't really been done before on this level.
Yeah, and to be quite honest with you, I don't think you could have picked two greater athletes. I've interviewed both, and to be quite honest with you, it's tremendous to see this. Now,
I would never want to push any fighter to be in any bracket, and when Ronald and Rustin both divisions, I was very excited for that.
Yeah, you know, it's tremendous. You know, Ronald, I got to ask you, and I don't mean to make the show a roundtable today, but Ronald, I got to ask you. You know, here's this event. You've got Sarah Stanton on the phone. She's tremendous. You know, you're just finding out about just like I am about how long they've been around. You know, other aspects of the organization. What does it mean for you, Ronald, as a practitioner, as a para practitioner, to have organizations and people like Sarah Stanton that have pretty much opened the floodgates for what we've been fighting for?
Well, in this, John, I think we should roundtable it tonight. This is a really special interview that we've got going here, and I didn't realize the direction we're going to go into, but I really like it. This is going to be so powerful in forming the next generation of the year going through as we build and complete these tournaments. For me personally, you know, I lost my leg 23 years ago. And say you're from a small town in Michigan. I'm also from a small town in Michigan. And, you know, 23 years ago, they didn't have the greatest martial arts throughout the Midwest. And the martial arts, the academies I did attempt to go to, I was not allowed to compete in. I was turned away from three academies. When I first started breaking into combat sports as an amputee, I would have to drive from Michigan to Chicago and sneak into my tournaments, not tell the referees, not tell the judges, not tell the opponents until I started getting acceptance. And so this is, Sarah and I talked about this, like this is the gift that we have. This has been given to us, and this is what we're passing on to the next generation. It's not about me. It's not about Rustin. It's not about Sarah. It's the next person that comes up who knows that they have jiu-jitsu as the path, that they don't have to worry about, you know, where am I going to get my rehab? Am I going to be able to be strong again? Can I defend myself again? These are legitimate questions we have to ask when we get broken. You know, we can be whole and strong again. And for me, jiu-jitsu is the path. Finding these other organizations that are coming on board and giving us this opportunity to compete, I will always fight against able-bodied people. It's just the way it is. You know, it's not about wins or losses. It's about showing ability for me. And if I can get on the mat and one more person sees that and decides that they can live again and they can get up off the couch and chase their kids or go back to work, then my life has been well lived. And people like Sarah are giving us this opportunity now. You know, these are 23 years is a long time to fight for this, to be in and out of cages and to get busted up. And to finally having it come true, it's an honor to be part of this. It's a gift for me.
It truly is. I mean, I'm stymied because, Sarah, you're a soft-spoken person, but if you look at the international board, the USA board, the aspect that you guys are creating, the involvement that you are giving to others, what was the defining factor in the creation of this? And I know I'm kind of taking a step backwards because, and, you know, I'm straightforward. Sometimes I will ask a harsh question, but it's not dramatic or unethical in any aspect. But what allowed you guys to define yourself wanting to create this aspect for para fighters? Because I know with my fight with IBJJF, it was tremendous. It was a tremendous battle. you know, they didn't want to rewrite the rule book. And I had Professor J.W. Wright, the owner of Fuji Sports, the owner of Fuji BJJ, who's a very good brother of mine, you know, call me up and say, hey, man, I seen the statement they released about you. What do you want? And I told him what I wanted, and he made it happen. And he basically went against his lineage because he is Gracie, and the Gracies pretty much run the IBJJF. So what is it about your organization, you know, the international and the USA organization and the committees, that truly reflected into this aspect and these and the para fighter? Because it truly is tremendous what you're doing.
For us, as we just continued to grow JJIF, we just wanted to make sure we had equality for everyone. So it's actually that basic, is we only wanted to look at equality for everyone, that we would have equal events for females, equal events for males, bring adaptive events. So it was just pretty basic to say, hey, let's develop this committee as an international group and go with it. And then this year we decided to really activate it. JJIF was hugely supportive to just go ahead and start doing events with it. Said to kick it off in Pan America. Colombia hosted the Pan Americans. The president from down there of the Jiu-Jitsu Federation said the same thing. Just go with it. Let me know what you need to do here. Gave us the venue to do it. We went from there. So I feel like JJIF and the Pan American Jiu-Jitsu Federation through JJIF has just been very supportive, kind of to give an open forum with what we need.
I think it's tremendous, because you look at a lot of the American aspects, and I'm not going to knock anybody because I don't roll that way, but it's an absolute fight. Before, I mean, all they really had is the UAE, and, you know, a lot of people felt left out, you know, and for me, to see a para fighter, even though Ronald said he will always fight an able-bodied fighter, Ronald in certain aspects of the para world, they're just that way. They're just beast. But, you know, to give that aspect is just, it's heart-wrenching, because you did something when you didn't have to. You wanted to see an organization grow. You wanted to add different attributes to it, and it's profound. Who in your early days taught you the mindset that you have today? Because you're a woman of many titles. You're a woman of great caliber in the sport, and you have tremendous ability in making things happen. Who in the early days of your career, of the mat, who was it that defined you and led you down this path to want to create greatness in the sport?
People always ask me that, and honestly, I don't have an answer for it. I couldn't say there's any person that defined anything for real. I can't. There's literally not.
Do you believe that, Ronald?
Don, she's just a ninja growing up from heart, I guess. I mean, some people have it.
No, there's really not. I guess if I had to pick one person in martial arts right now who's done the most supportive, it would be the JJIF president, Panayotis Theodoropoulos, because he's supported everything para jiu-jitsu we're doing. So I give a lot of thanks and appreciation to him for having supported our committee as a whole. But for martial arts in general, and just I honestly don't have like one person.
That's funny. I like it though. Your honesty is tremendous. You know, to my listeners, she's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, but I was asked a question earlier, and so I'm going to pose it to you, because I even asked Ronald, because and I apologize for the typo, and when I'm writing things up, you got to realize I'm a multitasker. I'm doing 90 different things, but I went back in, I corrected the bio on the radio station page, so everybody will see it actually without the eye, you know, and that's what we're going to get to here in a second. How do you differentiate Japanese jiu-jitsu from Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and how did that correlate and to the aspect that you're doing in the sport today?
We want it to be inclusive for anyone who wants to participate. So we've written it JU and JIU in different parts, or sometimes JU jiu-jitsu, JIU jiu-jitsu, and just done the slash with it because for our para-jiu-jitsu, we don't necessarily want it to make people feel, okay, this is Brazilian or this is Japanese. We want it just to be for everybody who wants to participate as a whole.
Okay. Because it kind of, you can see how it kind of threw me off. I mean, I'm used to doing, you know, spelling it out, J-I-U, and then I'm like, and I went and I called Ronald last night and I said, bro, I apologize. And he said, for what? I said, I put an I in front of everything and the link is already up, but I went and I changed everything today. You know, Sweden is coming up.
No, and that's totally fine, because if you look through Facebook and through stuff, sometimes it is J-I-U for us and sometimes it's J-U. So however you wrote it, we just want it to be inclusive for everybody.
I love that aspect, and I apologize for my typo. You know, you look at individuals like Ronald and others, you know, the event is already set, and it's going to be a tremendous world's event. You know, when is the next aspect going to take place? I mean, we already know Sweden is defined and set in stone. How many events do you guys plan on offering a year to para-athletes?
We'll have it again at our Pan-American Championships, again at our Worlds. Different continents will also host it at theirs. And then we'll have it in the USA at our National this year. At our USA International Open, we'll offer that. And then any local events that want to run with USJJ and JJIF will host it. And I'd like to also do a seminar on it in the USA this year, too. And that's something I can help with, but I want to have one of the para-athletes actually be the leader in teaching it as well.
I like that. Whenever you're ready to do, like, seminars or anything like that, if you can get with me, I might be able to correlate something out here with, you know, Professor Rafael Lovato or J.W. Wright or Professor Ezra Lennon or Jared Dopp or somebody along them lines, because I think what you're doing is tremendous. You know, I deal with all aspects of the sport. And, Ronald, I got to admit, I'm kind of at a loss because, you know, most organizations only want to see what they can get as far as profitability. They want to see what they can gain only for the intent or the growth of the organization. But here, you bring me a guest that truly wants to see all have opportunities, equal opportunities, and not even bat an eyelash at it. As a warrior and a practitioner, how does it make you feel knowing that you truly have found, in my opinion, one of the greatest aspects leading into jiu-jitsu, leading into jiu-jitsu and the para world?
Now, is that a question for me or for Sarah, Don?
For you.
Yeah. I mean, it's we're flowing back and forth so well here. It's hard to differentiate between para and able. I think like we're working closely together,
right.
And you can give it the label of yeah, we're going to have para divisions, para categories, but the equality that Sarah's talking about, that's the beautiful thing. Like that's the goal, right? To be seen as equal. You know, so not to be just para athletes, but to be seen as equal athletes, to be seen as equal human beings, as equal martial artists, and respected for our skill. You know, a lot of people, as we go through these tournaments, it's going to just continue to grow. UAE JJF established that it can be done on a world level a year ago, and it run tournaments around the world, and it's continuing to grow. We're continuing to grow athletes, and now I find out that Sarah's been working with JJIF to do this. You know, the more that I learn about this, the more that I'm involved in this, the more excited I get, but the more maybe content I feel that I know that this is going in the right direction. You know, that we're leading the way right now, but I can see down the road that this is going to continue to grow and it will be a reality. That this is not going to go away anymore. You know, we've planted the seeds, and it will continue to grow, and it'll be eventually permanent. You know, as people find out more about para jiu-jitsu, and find out the benefits of jiu-jitsu itself, the Marshall Path.
There
you know,
are
how
so
it's
many
a,
countries that have the opportunity to be in JGIF right now, and so many members we have that I think a lot of them just don't know in general, like what exactly we mean by para-jiu-jitsu. So I think just starting having anything at a tournament just to show them what it is. Because if you have a country and we don't know how to explain it the best possible in a few words to keep their interest and show them pictures and have a video of what it is for everybody, we have to do something to start to be able to educate everyone.
Sarah, that kills me because you and I talked about that, and you're talking about you've got 122 countries that are involved in the JGIF, which is powerful. That's fantastic that people are and countries are willing to organize under one force to give us para-jiu-jitsu. But when you talk, it didn't really hit me. But when you said that, like, there's some countries that don't have para-jiu-jitsu. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have para-jiu-jitsu? Like, I don't understand it. And then I just realized, like, yeah, I live in America where adaptive sports are the norm. Like, we're on TV, we're on commercials. It's cool to be an amputee. We got robot legs, and you know, we're out there pushing the boundaries. But there's a lot of areas in this world and a lot of countries where this is not the norm. So, Sarah, as you're going forward, and we touched a little bit on this today, what are your plans and ideas for bringing this around the world, not just to, you know, forward-thinking countries that are putting this, like, you know, Sweden, that are putting this on the map, like, you know, in the Pan Ams and America and Abu Dhabi that are putting this out there for us. How are you going to start showing this to the world and giving it back?
I need the support of para-athletes in order to be able to do that, because ideally we'll have a meeting, we'll have a seminar that's international, and we'll be able to have a para-athlete or two there also to help teach that, because the athletes are the ones that are going to be able to get out there and teach and go be able to get out there and show what this is the best. I can go out, I can speak about it, I'll coordinate it, but I need the athletes to go out there also and show everybody how it's done and what it truly means to them as the current athletes and as it goes down farther into the next generation.
You know, I like that because, you know, Ronald, I don't know, your plate is already full. You're a woman of many hats and much responsibilities, but we have a page called Parafighter, and I created that page so para-athletes could share their stories. And, you know, some the head of the UAE is one of the admins on there. There's other aspects of, or the head of the Canadian board is also on there. I don't know how, you know, much free time you have on your hands, but I would love to make you an admin on that page so we could share the aspect of all the organizations that you're involved with, all the aspects that you're giving to the world, because what you're truly doing is trendsetting. And, you know, I found, you know, a lot of aspects in the United States, and this is what kind of stymies me, you know, you get Ron and you get these others that want to talk about it but have never had a pathway to talk about it, and that's why we created this show. But then when it comes to sharing or, you know, letting themselves put their stories out there, it's been kind of hard. I'll be honest with you. You know, you can get some to do it, but on the most part, they'll share other people's stories. But what I would like is for an organization to actually share who they are through our para page, because it would open more eyes. It would, you know, let the aspects be seen on a more profound level. I don't know if you're willing to do that, but I'm more than open to add you as an admin, let you guys share whatever you want about whatever organization, you know, you want to support or share. Because I think what you're bringing is equality across the world. You know, like Ronald talked about 122 countries, and, you know, you're growing. And Sweden is very relevant in this aspect because it's your second event. But it shows that the magnitude of who you are and what you guys believe and put into this aspect. So if you're open to that, I'm more than game to add you to that, because the more stories we can get out there, I think the better off the artistry will be. What are your thoughts?
Oh, sure. That would be fine. That'd be great.
I think it'd be tremendous, Ron.
Well, I'm excited about, you know, we've got athletes all over the world that are now and high-level athletes, you know, that are out there fighting and competing. Me going over to Sweden is just one more opportunity for me to collect athletes for this show, but to collect other people that are pushing para-jiu-jitsu forward, you know, to bring this knowledge and information and to spread it out for everybody to be able to see and be able to gain.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Ron earlier, too,
and it's one thing, like, if you have a country come up to you and their leader from that country say, hey, I might want to participate in this, but what do you want me to do to be able to get people here? Or, you know, how do I train these guys there or make it work? So in that sense, that's where it's really good to have people like Ron, too, so I can have him help and be like, okay, here's somebody who's really competed in this. Let him speak to you about what he has personally done to be able to be here and train for this. And let the athletes from the other countries know that it is possible that they could do the same thing.
I mean, to me, it sounds like I'm being asked for a position, and it's not one that I can turn down. You know, if you can use, you know, what I've done with my life in para jiu-jitsu, Sarah, I'll be there anytime for you. You let me know where you need me to be and who I need to speak to, and you know, for me to give this back to the other world, for the rest of the world to see, you know, that's an opportunity I'll take in a heartbeat.
That's tremendous. You know, Sarah, when you look at everything combined, part of your bio, there was a line that caught me. And it wasn't just about you. It was about the organizations that you're with, that you back, and going into Sweden. What does ultimate success truly mean for you and the organization moving forward into Sweden?
For ultimate success for para-jiu-jitsu, I want to see it where ideally we could just have at least a few fighters from each country come where they didn't have to worry about the financial responsibility of it or that being their only challenge with being able to go. To me, that would lead to a lot of success with it, because I know even in the USA we have a lot of fighters who want to be there and they can't because of the finances. From some other JJF countries, they have money allocated from their government for the sport. I'd love to get to a point where in that allocation of dollars, all the other countries realize and learn from us how valuable para-jiu-jitsu is. And maybe some of that money is also allocated to para-athletes from their countries, and they can send the athletes to the para-tournament as well. So ultimate success overall, being able to just have a venue for the athletes to go, being able to support them financially across the world. And in that sense, the sport will just keep on growing and maybe someday also be involved in like an actual Olympic, Paralympic.
Yeah, I think it would be tremendous. You know, there's something that has just been stuck in my mind ever since we talked about doing this interview. Is I've had other professors, other promotions on from around the world with Ronald, and they hold para-athletes to a higher standard than the American aspect. Why do you think that is so, and what is the organization that you belong with, the JJIF, what is their main intent in changing that here on American soil?
JJIF wants equality for everyone. And they have an intent on having equality throughout all the countries.
But see, what I'm getting at is Ronald, you understand what I'm talking about. And,
yeah, I was going to say, maybe if you rephrase it, but I'm not sure, I guess, exactly what you're getting at.
Yeah, sometimes I'm too, I'm different in many
and
aspects.
But maybe my rambled response was not good.
No, it was good. You know, you're fine. Ronald, I forget the name that they give para-athletes in Brazil and in Abu Dhabi, if you can refresh my memory on that.
You know, they actually, in Abu Dhabi, they changed the word the word disabled into differently abled, and that's across the country. In all laws they write differently abled. And those kind of things may not seem profound to somebody that's in the outside world, but for us, equality. You know, it's nice for you to cheer us on and to say good job and that's amazing and boy, you're so inspiring, but to actually stand with us and to do something about it, this is powerful. This is a movement now.
Yeah. See, that's the aspect.
We want to make sure
yeah.
we're using the best words possible. Also, like, is differently abled, is that the best word possible? Or that's what I want to hear from the athletes, too. And that even, like, is that appropriate for them? Do they feel that's insulting, or do they love that title?
Actually, if you want to ask me as a para-athlete and everything that I do, in my personal opinion, I love it. You know, I choose the terminology handy capable because, like I said earlier, you know, you're defined by your own thoughts. You're defined by your own heart. You know, see, I think one thing in this world, people look at a person like they do a book, and they base a judgment off of that. And I think that is the most redundant thing anybody in this world can even do. Even me as a para-athlete, I've done that myself in life. You know, I've looked at people and, oh, I'm not going to deal with them. And one time I was sitting in a doctor's office, and this guy was sitting next to me, and he had on, looked like a 1970 polyester suit, and he had no socks on and paint, you know, the crappiest shoes I ever seen. And there was no clock in the office. And I asked him, I said, you know, sir, what time is it? And he lifted his sleeve up, and he had a $10,000 Rolex on. And I was like, holy crud, you know. And I learned to get in a discussion with this man that he happened to own 350 Chevrolet dealerships nationwide. You know, society is so quick to adopt a thought on an individual. But your organization is truly blind. And that just, I got to be honest with you, it leaves me speechless. It leaves me profound to hear the words that you speak about your organization worldwide and here in the U.S. because the complexity of it is so simple. Why can't others follow the path that you do? Sarah?
I'm not sure if that's like a direct question, like why can't other organizations follow what we do?
Yeah, why can't other organizations look at all aspects of who a person is like you do? You know, here, like I said, you know, there's other organizations that don't even want to open the doors for us. They don't even want to give us the opportunity because they feel it's a hindrance. But yet, here you and your organizations go, or, you know, basically have your eyes closed in that aspect because you want to see all succeed.
I wish every organization would look at it the same way. It would be a lot easier if they would.
Yeah. See, it's hard. If you remember in the beginning of the interview, Ronald talked about he was turned away three times. You know, it's not the first situation I've heard of, and I know it definitely won't be the last. You know, Ronald, this is just, it's left me speechless, and I apologize. I'm never speechless, trust me. but to have an organization worldwide and also in the U.S., that is just blatantly blind and wants to see success for everybody. Ronald, it's left my heart kind of just lost because this isn't something that happens every day. Like you said earlier, I think their organization should be forefronted. I think the aspect of their thought and their heart is the first in my 15 years of journalism that I've ever heard. As an athlete, what does it mean to you to have someone like Sarah and the organization and the JJIF and others join and conform with like the EAU and that aspect, but now make it completely open worldwide?
Well, and I mean that's the ultimate question. You know, why haven't we been given this before? Why have we been treated as second class citizens? And that you can get deep on that way. You and I, we could spend another hour or so just discussing that, and you know, discussing why we're not, you know, in the Olympics and why we're not in the Paralympics and why aren't we considered equals yet. You know, it's difficult. I mean, we could rep people, we could name names, we could talk about other organizations that are not willing to help us. But I'm not worried about that as much as I'm excited about, like, the UAE JJF and JJIF, and then the USJJO that Sarah's the president of, you know, accepting and promoting and making this happen. You know, this costs money. They're out there pushing it at the expense to themselves to help us. You know, I'm out there fighting. Okay, yeah, I'm putting my time and my sweat in it, but they're organizing. They're going to meetings. They're putting their dollars, their time, their energy into doing this. And that's the great gift, you know. The other organizations, if they can't see that, you know, they'll be left behind anyways. They might be left behind anyways because of some of their practices here in America or around the world, you know, and what they want to charge for this and the other things. But, you know, we could talk about that, or we could talk about, like, these are the gifts that are given to us. I would rather talk about JJIF in Sweden and UAE JJIF, you know, putting this to the forefront and both of them working together, you know.
Right, and JJIF has a good professional partner in UAE JJIF. So we have two excellent organizations that are willing to associate with each other and work together for the better of jiu-jitsu as a whole. So with those two groups working by each other, I think we can very, very much be successful.
I think so, too. Now, how do you guys define, like, going into Sweden, you got Ronald and you got Rustin. You know, how do you guys correlate or pick a para athlete in that aspect in regards as to go into Sweden or any other promotions or events that you guys are going into the future? How do you define who you're going to put on the card? What is the, I guess, the best way to say it is, how do you pick the athlete that you're going to have on your set event?
For our para athletes this year, for JJIF, we decided to charge no fee at all to the para athletes and no limitation on how many a country could send with it being a new event. So any para athlete that wanted to attend, they can just come. So there's no limitation on who from the USA could go. So there wasn't a defining moment to say this athlete had a rank this high in a certain event. So we were able to bring who we could support, who could get their funding, if they could pay for it on their own as para athletes to go to Sweden.
Yeah. Now, Sweden is just right around the corner, and like Ronald said, you know, we could talk all day about different aspects. Sweden is huge. Let's just put it, I mean, right out there, Sweden is a huge aspect, and I think it's going to be tremendous, you know, to have worlds, the para jiu-jitsu worlds in Sweden, you know, in all aspects of your organization in Sweden. You know, when you look at it at that, how monumental is it for you guys to have your second event going into this? What do you expect to show the world through this aspect in Sweden?
Ronald, do you want to answer it first, or do you want me to? Like, what do you want to show it, the world as a para fighter, or what do you want me to show it as a committee leader?
Let me jump in real quick. It's we're actually up at an hour now, and I unfortunately have to catch a train in New York today,
you go ahead
and I got to head back to D.C.
Because I think it's better for you to answer it as a para fighter.
Well,
what we want to show the world.
I'll put in my two cents, but I think you should also comment and from the committee side. You know, as an athlete, of course, I continue to say, like, this is a gift for us. We want to show that we're equal. And it's like Rustin and I, we'll fight able-bodied people. But people like Cole Rogers, he competes against able-bodied people. And he may not win all of his fights, but he's out there fighting. I mean, his disability is so severe right now that he has to – and the dude's 75 pounds. Who's he going to fight? So we're matching up as equal. We're allowing us to have this sport. We're allowing us to have this event as equal. But there's going to be people like him and like me that are willing to go out there and put it out there no matter what, you know. And we're lucky that UAE, JJF, and now JJIF are putting this together for us. You know, Don, I've got to run. I've got to catch a train. But I wanted to say thank you very much for letting us bring Sarah on tonight. And Sarah, thank you so much for talking with us. It has been an honor to speak with you on this level, and I'm looking forward to catching up with you a couple of days in Sweden.
Thank you. I'll see you in a few days.
Yeah. Don't leave, Sarah. I still got a few more questions I need to ask you. We'll let Ronald bounce off here, and then Ronald, thank you so much, and I can't wait to see what you do in Sweden. You know, you always make me proud wherever you're at. You know, I wish you the best of luck in Sweden. We probably won't talk until after Sweden. But I truly love you, brother. Be safe and enjoy the opportunity that is put in front of you.
I love you too, my friend. I'll see you when I get back. Bye.
All right, brother. Awesome. You know, Sarah, that's one tremendous man right there, for one thing. You know, it's funny. I'll give you a quick synopsis on how I met Ronald Mann. You know, I've been in the combat sports industry for 23 years. I've been doing radio for 15 years. I was with ABC, CBS, NBC, and so forth. I wanted to get away from all of that and just give every fighter a voice. You know, as you're doing in the artistry, you know, you want to give everybody an opportunity. Well, I had happened to scroll across the picture of this cage fighter holding his leg above his head after he won. And to me, as a photographer, it was one of the most profound pictures I had ever seen. And I knew in my heart that I had to meet this man. And I got to speak with Ronald Mann, and I eventually had him on a show. And he truly changed my thought, my heart. And I think he's a tremendous ambassador for, you know, the para-athletes. I think he's the voice of reason. I think he's the man in the forefront as a practitioner. You know, when you go into Sweden with these two tremendous, tremendous para-athletes, what are your thoughts on the people that you chose to bring with you and orchestrate the greatest aspect of the artistry for your organization?
Well, we actually have, I know we're about up at time, but just we actually have a third athlete going as well. So we have three para-athletes going.
Okay.
And just to be able to bring all three, so if you can rephrase your question too real quick, I just wanted to make sure to note that we do have three guys going.
See, that's one thing. I fly off the cuff. It's kind of hard to remember a question.
I don't want to forget to note we have three people.
Well, you know, I just think it's tremendous. I think the opportunity that you're giving people like Ronald Weston and the third athlete is tremendous. You know, as we spoke about earlier on the show, I fought for about a year straight with the IBJJF on getting a para category added in the U.S. with Fuji. And, you know, it was to my surprise how much disrespect I got back from certain organizations. So first and foremost, I just want to say what you guys are doing is tremendous. I'm truly honored to even be able to speak with you, because in life, not very many people look at giving others opportunities, and your organization is all about that. How do you guys create the funding to allow these athletes to go without a dime coming out of their pocket?
No, that's the hardest part. Our government doesn't provide any funding for it, and finding any sponsors is extremely hard. So our athletes are having to self-pay unless they can find personal sponsorship. Our organization will help how we can as USJJO, but we don't have enough sponsorships to be able to provide for all the athletes. So without receiving government dollars, that's the hardest part.
Yeah. See, we're going to have to work on that. I know too many people to not try to help in that regard, you know, and I'm just looking at Sweden. You know, it's just days away. How relevant is it to you to see now the second event come to apparition, knowing that this is only going to grow the organization even that much further? What does it mean to you and your committee and all involved to be able to now see the growth and see the fruits of your hard work and labor?
Just to feel the momentum of everything going is awesome. To be able to put it on JJIF World and know that it's an actual event there that people want to see. So it has its own time frame. It has its own day. It's actually announced as part of a whole tournament, not something that's just kind of like, oh, yeah, take a little spot on the mat and do it. But actually announced is a fabulous feeling.
Yeah, it's tremendous. What you're doing is tremendous. Like I said, I'm usually not stymied. I usually am articulate and not at a loss for words, but seeing what your organizations are doing is tremendous, because I know what the plight has been here in America. I know because I've helped fight it. I actually come from Michigan on a certain aspect. I lived actually up in Oscoda. And
are you serious? That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, I was born in Italy, but I grew up during school in Oscoda.
So are you part of the Air Force Pratt family?
Yes.
Yep. I actually went to military school on Wordsmith, so it's all right. You know, I love Oscoda. I miss it. I truly do. I loved Oscoda. It was one of the greatest places in the world. But what I was getting at is, when I still had my leg when I took on this fight, when MMA was illegal in Michigan, I took on the fight to help get it legalized. And it took us a multitude of years to do that. How much time did it take for your organization to get the complexity legalized, organized, and be, you know, to the point where you're able to run events like you know you're getting ready to do in Sweden? You know, was there any legal contingencies? Was there any, you know, backlash? What did you guys have to go through to create such an aspect?
Well, in the USA, it took probably a couple of years to do it by the time we got approved as a nonprofit, all the constitution and bylaws, set up our board. Now we've made sure we have like a male athlete rep, female athlete rep, make sure everything's in alignment correctly for that. Internationally, we were lucky enough for myself to be head of the international committee and come on board under a JJIF that was well established.
It's tremendous. You know, Sweden is going to be tremendous for you guys, and like I said, the athletes that I know that you're taking over there are going to represent the organization as well. It's going to do tremendous things for the artistry as a whole, I believe. If you could give a quick aspect for my listeners of all the organizations that you're correlated with and what this truly means to you, seeing the reflection now become an apparition and now become reality, because this just doesn't happen. I mean, I'm surprised that I never heard of all the organizations that you're with, being that I do this aspect of the para world. You know, it's actually heart-touching to see that people like you do exist.
Throughout the USA, any member of Youth JJO can also belong to any other organization. So we're linked casually like that. We don't exactly have a professional partner in the U.S. In the USA as Youth JJO. JJIF has a professional partner in UAE JJF. And then JJIF is a member of the Global Association of International Sports Federations, or GAISF. And then our big, big world event under JJIF coming up also is we're going to be having the World Games in Alabama in 2021, and that's done under the patronage of the International Olympic Committee. So through being a governing body for JJIF, we're linked to all those higher organizations.
Yeah, you know, one other question I got for you. How did it feel for you to get such a prestigious position on a committee or the aspect of the organization that you're involved with? How did it feel for you to get that opportunity to see things grow? Because you're truly on a historical path.
For me, I don't know. It's a basic answer again, I guess. I'm just really excited to be able to do it. And I feel very blessed and honored to have been given the opportunity, and I want to do it for the athletes and for the people out there who will be doing this in the future, to give them hope and give them a forum to be able to experience something that's great and just be the one, like, kind of helping to lead it and do it. So I'm excited. I feel really honored
well,
to
I
be
would
able
be
to
too.
Do it.
Yeah, I would be too. But, you know, let's look at it as everybody else would. I mean, this is truly history in the making. This is truly an aspect that is going to be, can be written in the history books at the beginning, and your organization and the EAU are going to be part of this aspect in the creation of. How does it feel for you, though, as an individual, knowing that what you're doing is creating a legacy, not just for your organizations, but for the fighters?
If I can be the one to lead it and help it work, I'll be thrilled. In 20 years from now, I'd love to be sitting back and watching it on TV and know that I was a huge part to help start it off. But if, honestly, if nobody remembers that it was me who did it, I'll be just as happy, because I really just want it to be about the athletes and about everybody that's out there needing this and wanting to see it succeed. And if they don't remember it was me in 20 years that helped start it off, that's okay with me too. I just want it to be for everyone.
I like that, and I think that's exactly why these organizations are growing and blowing up, is that mentality right there. You know, it was truly an honor for me to have you on the show today. I apologize that I didn't know about all these other organizations. You know, I'm transparent. I'm the first to admit when I don't know something. But when I read your bio, it truly took me back to see how much you actually do. And I thought I could complain. You know, I like I said, I'm still an active photographer, and I run 4 shows a week. But to see what you do is tremendous. I don't know where you find the time, but God bless you, because what you're doing is making history, and nobody can ever take that from you. In 20 years, if they don't remember who did it, at least your family, the people that are with you now, will remember. And you know what? You're doing it without a self-reflection, and that's the greatest aspect of life, you know, because I always believe in doing things without expectation. And it sounds like that's the type of individual you are, and I commend you on that.
Thank you very much. That means a lot. I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to do this.
Oh, so am I. I'm truly honored, because, like I said, I would like for you guys to start sharing stuff on our para page. You know, we just recently got it started, but I think it's an aspect that needs to be shared with the world. And, you know, being a para athlete myself, you know, even although I'm just a white belt, you know, to get the opportunity to have that aspect was tremendous. Before I let you go, I'll tell you just a real quick story. You know, I had Professor J.W. Wright, the owner of Fuji Sports and Fuji BJJ, on my show, and we talked about everything that he's done in life and all of his accolades. And I asked him, what more could you do? I mean, you've pretty much have done everything that there is to do in life. And he said, I would like for you to put down your camera and put on a gi and roll. And I'll be honest with you, I shot seminars, and I thought jiu-jitsu was the most boring thing in the world. I'll be honest with you, because you go from shooting a fight to shooting jiu-jitsu in a seminar, it's totally different. And so I agreed, and I'll tell you what, I got my first roll under J.W. Wright. I got choked out under J.W. Wright, but I got my first roll under him. And from that moment on, I fell in love with the artistry, the aspect, the brotherhood, the sisterhood that is correlated on all levels of the artistry. And from your interview today, you could see that you, the committee that you belong with, and all the organizations that you're with truly have that same mentality. And it's kind of different, because here in 2018, everything's about entitlement or give me. And here we have someone like you that is willing to give themselves without expectation. And like I said, this is truly an honor to be able to share your story and the aspects of Sweden. It's something that I don't get to do very often. So I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate you sharing what you could. I'd love to have you back on when I'm a little bit more well-versed. Like I said, today kind of threw me off because the more I read about it, the more it completely enthralled me that there's an organization like yours that truly exists, because it just doesn't happen in these day and times. And I commend you and all involved in this aspect and going into Sweden. I wish you the best of luck, and I know it's going to be a tremendous event. If there was, you know, one thing that you would like to see happen in Sweden and take away from Sweden, what would that be, sir?
Just to have people enjoy the event, enjoy watching it, and continue to have the momentum flow like we did after Columbia, so they go into 2019 with a good momentum.
That's awesome. I really like that. You truly are tremendous. I'm lost. I mean, I'm like, look at it, because I read your bio, and it's like, if people only knew half of what you've done, you know, it's, you've done more in a short period of time than most people do in a lifetime, and that's to be commended. You know, it was truly an honor to have you on the show today, sir. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If there's any sponsors that do sponsor your organization or anything else that you'd like to add to the show, the floor is yours, my friend.
I just want to say again, thank you for having me on here, and of course to Ronald for making sure this was set up nicely before Sweden, and then thank you to JGIF for allowing us to have the forum and the venue to continue to do this and go full speed ahead with Para Jiu-Jitsu.
That's tremendous. One young lady that I think you need to look at for the next time you're in the United States is Jess Munter. She's a tremendous, tremendous para-athlete. I think she took gold at the L.A. Grand Slams. You know, one thing, when I got into this para aspect of radio, it, you know, sometimes you get caught up in the interviews. You get taken back on the stories. And, you know, there's some parts of life that people truly are missing out. And I thank you for bringing it to the world level. And I appreciate the organizations that you're with, because without you, the para-athletes wouldn't have a voice. And I just want to say thank you once again for joining the show, and even give you a greater thank you for what you're doing for the para-athletes around the world. It's tremendous, and it shows the type of mentality in the organizations that you're with that you truly believe in people, and not just your pockets, and that means the world to me.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That makes me feel great, so thank you very much.
Hey, it's heartfelt and it's true. On that note, thank you so much, Sarah. I wish you the best of luck in Sweden. Have fun, and make sure Ronald Mines out there, and keep in mind, I guess the best way to say it is kick him in his butt when he gets a little wound up.
All right. Well, do you think
he truly is a great guy? You know, the only reason I said that is because at the LA Grand Slams, they didn't even give him an opportunity to rest. He fought an able body, and then I don't even think it was 5 minutes later, he was back on the mat fighting a para fighter. And it's like you could just see, you know, how wound up he was and how much he loves this. But that's hard on any athlete, to compete and then go right back out there and compete again. But
right.
I wish you the best of luck in Sweden. Thank you for giving the para-athletes an opportunity. And like I said, I would love for you to share on the page. With that note, thank you so much for joining the show today. Enjoy yourself in Sweden, and appreciate the interview, my friend.
Sure. Thank you very much as well. Have a great rest of the night.
You too. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, I think I was just totally lost. I mean, because I could sit here for the next 10 minutes and just read off the accolades of Sarah Stanton. Tremendous. And to hear about the organization's blindness and the right to give equality to all is truly tremendous. It's something that doesn't happen in these days and times anymore. You know, I'm 53 years old, and I'm speechless because the opportunities that they're giving. If you're a sponsor out there, get a hold of me, get a hold of Ronald Mann, or get a hold of Sarah Stanton, and let's see what we can do to help these organizations grow. Because truly, without organizations like this, you know, I hate to take it on a dark, leave it out on a dark note, but you know, I've got a friend who's a practitioner that was thinking about suicide, and he got the opportunity to get on the mat, and it changed his life. And now look at what this organization is doing and giving them opportunities in worlds and Pan Ams. And, you know, if just getting on the mat can save one life, imagine what giving all para-athletes an opportunity in life would do. And that would save many lives. But just to change one life or save one life is worth the world. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the 86ers.net, with Alfred and Freddie, an organization that believe that nobody in life should be 86. Everybody should be looked at as an equal. I want to thank Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez. I want to thank Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. Without those four individuals, I wouldn't exist. And thank you to the United Way Merced and the United Way in general. With that being said, Sarah Stanton was one tremendous, tremendous guest. And Ronald Mann, I wish you the best of luck in Sweden, my brother. On that note, I'm going to take everybody out with a little bit of music today because I'm kind of missing my mom, so we're going to play a little Tupac. On that note, have a good day, and God bless.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.